And are you here this morning? You say, that's a silly question. No, it's not. You can be here and not be here. You can have your body sitting in the pew, and you, which is your mind, your heart, your affection, your soul, somewhere else. This is not you. You know that? And I want to deal with things, hard things, difficult things, just like that this morning. It's going to require you to do a little thinking with me. I did a whole lot of thinking in preparation of this. And I hope that you will stay with me, that you'll do some thinking. It's going to require that. A little thoughtfulness on your part. We're going to talk about faith, which should greatly interest you. Because without faith, no man can please God. You're justified by faith. You're saved by faith. All assurance and comfort and peace and strength and encouragement and zeal comes by faith. We walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith, faith. We're going to deal with faith. What it is. It's a mystery. It's a difficult thing. Now, Peter said, he said that there'll come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, or since early days, all things continue like they have been from the beginning. Well, no, they haven't. Those people don't have their eyes open, do they? Things aren't the same. It's greatly changing. Men, pretty much the same, but things are rapidly changing. And yet he says they're ignorant. He says they're willingly ignorant, Peter said. They're ignorant of the creation. They refuse to believe in a creating God. They're ignorant of the flood. That was one day the flood. The earth was destroyed, even though even the rocks and hills and everything proved that. The absence of dinosaurs on the earth proved that. Just many things prove that, yet they're willingly ignorant of that, and they're ignorant of the sure judgments of God. How that God every day judges mankind, yet they're willingly ignorant. It's like you're walking around, not you, but we men are walking around blind. And we are. They are. You know, we believe what we want to. You know that? We believe pretty much what we want to believe. What suits our fancy is what we're going to strive to believe. We can make ourselves believe the most ridiculous, the most fantastical. Witness all of the people all over the world following these nuts and these crooks and these charlatans on TV. Why? How could so many people follow and be taken in by those fellows? That's what they want. You believe what you want. And we don't believe what we don't want to believe. You know, we can make ourselves not believe the obvious and that which is very clear. You know, God can be clearly seen. You know, God doesn't have to, you know, I don't have to stand up here. People, we don't have to be given proofs that there's a God. All you got to do is look in the mirror. All you got to do is look. You want proof that there's a God? I'm talking about an all-wise, magnificent, unfathomable, or that is, one who cannot be figured out, infinitely above us, creator, that made all things. You don't have to look any further than your thumb. Everybody look at your thumb. I'm serious. You know, see those lines all over your thumb? That's called a fingerprint, thumbprint. But it's fingerprint. You know, that's the only one that's ever been in the world like it. I mean, billions of people have lived on this planet. Billions! Joe, you got the only one like yours. There's never been one like yours. Well, that sure is by chance, isn't it? Evolution sure is smart. That's amazing. God. God, for the sake of justice and order and law and so forth, He makes His thumbprint so we can catch crooks. Really. God can be clearly seen, as Scripture says, invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Look at a tree, look at a flower, just look. No, doesn't a man or woman just open your eyes and look? This just happened, Big Bang. I believe in a Big Bang, but it was the voice of God. It wasn't happenstance, it wasn't circumstance, it wasn't a chance, luck thing, planets colliding, it was God speaking. It said, it's a Big Bang, all right. His voice is the sound of many waters. His voice is spiritual. He said, let there be this and that and the other. And it was. But fools that men are, they'd rather believe that just boom, and it happened. Why not believe there's God? And God said, this is the way it's going to happen. Which is harder to believe? I say it's harder to believe evolution. Well, the invisible things are clearly seen, understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Scripture says they're without excuse. People say, prove that there's a God. No, He's already proved that. He's not going to speak to you. Why should He? Huh? Why should God speak to Carl Sagan? Why should God speak to anybody for that matter? People refuse to believe in an almighty, sovereign creator. Why? Because that means they have to answer to Him. Right? You see, if God created me, that means He's bigger than me. He created me, I'm His. He made me. He can do with me what, and I got to answer to Him. And people don't like that. Like I said, you don't believe what you don't want to believe. You believe what you do want to believe. And men don't want to answer to an almighty creator, so they prefer to believe in evolution, and that makes man in control of his own destiny. Brother John Chapman said that people like to believe that man began as a monkey and has turned into a man because they can say, look how far we've come. Some of us didn't come too far, if that be the case. But he said, but men don't like to believe that man was created upright and became a monkey, because that way you'd have to say, look how far we fell. And so it says, God gave them up. Romans chapter 1 says, so since they don't believe that there's God, they won't recognize I'm He. It's clearly seen, they're without excuse. He gave them up. Didn't it? Gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Thus we have a world that is just like it's just piled on top of one another with wickedness and corruption. Just smart. Oh, we're smart, aren't we? Isn't our generation so smart? Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Change the truth of God into a lie. Worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who's God blessed forever. Amen. And without excuse, aren't we? Man says, so this is the excuse man said. Well, seeing is believing. No, I don't believe there's a God because I can't see Him. Man says, I don't believe there's a God because I haven't heard Him talk to me yet. Oh, yeah, He has. Just not in the voice that you wanted to hear. And you didn't hear it when He did speak. Men say, seeing is believing, yet He will not believe the obvious. Men say, seeing is believing, yet He won't believe the obvious, right? Because He's clearly seen, He said. So, what happens? Since men won't believe the obvious, what happens? Scripture says God sends them strong delusions. He sends them things to see. He sends them things to hear. He sends them strong feelings. That's what they're looking for. An evil and adulterous generation, an unbelieving generation seeks a sign. So what happens? God gives them one. But it's not so that they might be saved. It's that they might be damned and believe a lie. Is that right? Is that what the Scripture says? So what does God require of every human being first? First thing. To understand the mystery. To have things proved to him. Believe. Christ said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Didn't he? Let me repeat that to you. Man says seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. And Christ said himself, said not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And so for those who don't believe, but who want things proved to them, it's hopeless. God sends them strong delusions so that they believe a lie. See, he's God, Vicki, isn't he? He's supposed to be believed, not proven. I don't have to prove myself to you. What about God? Huh? Do I have to prove that I'm a man to you, Joe? Step up here, I want to prove I'm a man. I might prove wrong. But God, why should God prove himself to a worm? Well, if he'll just speak, I'll believe. Why? Why should he? He going to stop what he's doing and condescend to speak to a worm? You know, he does. But he doesn't have to. But to those who believe, simply believe because God said it, and don't have to see, God sends strong proof of himself. Now, did you follow what I was just saying? For those who just believe, based upon God saying it, God sends strong beliefs and strong proof to substantiate their faith. And then faith itself becomes the substance of things hoped for and the evidence itself of things not seen. I don't expect anybody in here to understand that except those who believe. Faith becomes the evidence. It says, I believe that when it shows me. No, you say, I believe that, then it shows you. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Didn't it? Oh, boy, I'd sure like to believe, wouldn't you? There's a lot of things that I need to know and understand and see. So the first thing that's required is believing. Man says seeing is believing, yet God says believing is seeing. Now, let me illustrate this. Look at our text here. He says in John 20, he says verse 29, Christ said unto Thomas. Now, Thomas's problem, and I could have preached on this, Thomas's problem is he wasn't with everybody. He had forsaken the assembly of himself together, didn't it? Tom missed out. 8 days, Nancy, he went without assurance of the Lord's resurrection. He was in trouble, wasn't he? Don't you know everybody else was excited and just thrilled and full of zeal and all that? Huh? Waiting Christ's arrival? Thomas wasn't. He was distraught. He was torn up. But I'm not preaching on Thomas. But verse 29, Christ said unto Thomas, Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You see this thing of sight. Are we to trust our sight? No. Sight is unsure. You can't always believe what you see. It might be an optical illusion. It might be a trick of your eyes, right? People, let's say people that are out in the desert, you know, that haven't had water or food to drink, they see this a mirage. You've heard of that, haven't you? So it's real. I mean, they really see a mirage. And what they want to see, they see this oasis of water, you know. They're thirsty, so they conjure it up, and they see it. But that's an illusion, right? You can't believe it's an optical illusion, a trick of the eye. The Scripture says that which is seen is temporal. That's what I said to you to begin with. I said, this is not you. I mean, this is not me. That's not you. Joe, pick on somebody else. I always call on you. Nancy Hudson. When we lay your body in a casket and bring it down here, and if it's open, if you're not horribly disfigured in a car wreck or something, if we lay your casket open and we come down and people are going to gather around your body and say, well, there's Nancy. No, it's not. It's just the same as I get in the car and I'm driving down the car and somebody sees me and says, there's Paul. Which is Paul? The one driving the car or the car? The car is the vessel that I'm riding in. That's so is your body. That's not you. What happens when you sleep? Huh? Your body is dead for all practical purposes. Are you dead? No, you're living somehow. It's the reason you think. It's the reason you dream, right? That's the you. That's the real you. Okay? That which is seen is temporal. That which is not seen, the soul, is eternal. It's going to go somewhere, right? To live by sight, think about this. You know, to live by your eyes, by your eyesight alone, is to be very weak and very immature. To live by sight is to be very weak and immature. I'll give you an example of one of these children. Maybe not John Henry, but... one little younger than him. One of our, Brittany. All right? If I took Brittany and brought her up here and held out in this hand a handful of dimes and held out in this hand a handful of nickels, which one's she going to take? Oh, she's going to take the nickels. They're bigger. Right? I guarantee you. If I had two hands full of bright, brand new copper pennies, and over here I had two $50 bills, she'll take the pennies. Guarantee you. That's eyesight. That's weak. That's the beggarly element, see? That's immature, isn't it? Children are ruled by their eyesight. So are carnal-minded people. They're ruled by their eyesight. Not by what's not seen. You can't trust your eyes. And I'll get into that a little more in a minute. Feeling. What about feeling? You know, religion today is all caught up in feeling. That's all it is about. Everybody wants a feeling, don't they? Everybody wants a feeling. So consequently, preachers and all these churches are getting caught up like a ball game. You know, let's have a feeling. Let's drum up religion. Religion's not based on feeling. Religion is based on the Word of God, and I'll get to that a little more in a minute. But feelings are unstable. Feelings are conditional, aren't they? I told you you're going to have to think with me. Feelings can be produced by drugs. Feelings can be produced by circumstances. Feelings can be produced by this happening and that happening. Feelings, right? Feelings come. Feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. John Newton said. That was Martin Luther. Your hope better be in the Word of God. There's nothing else worth believing. And like I said, religion today is all caught up with and motivated by feeling, by sight, by miracles, by signs, and they're getting them. And they're believing lies. They're getting, these things are happening, people. Some of these things that's going on is happening. There's a spirit out there, all right, but it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit... constantly through the Scripture is called the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. He will guide you into all truth. He'll take the things of mine, Christ said, and show them unto you. He'll show you who Christ is. He'll show you who God is. He'll show you why Christ came. He'll show you why you need Christ. He'll show you who you are. He'll show you, he'll teach you, he'll guide you, he'll lead you, instruct you. Knowledge turns into faith. Faith into knowledge of God. Voices. People trust voices. You know, you can't trust voices. You can't trust what you hear. You can't trust. I sure can't. I'm hard of hearing. Half the time I don't hear what somebody says or hear wrongly what I think they did say. You can't trust voices. Voices are mistakable. There are many voices, many forgeries, many copies. You can't trust voices. What if I got up here today and spoke very eloquently and very forcefully in the most resounding voice you've ever heard, and you were absolutely impressed with my oratory and my ability to speak and my recall of this and that and the other and my memory and all of the great tales, and I gave you all sorts of illustrations, and you were just went out of here, wow. That's what happened when Herod got up one day. Herod got up, and after he finished his little speech, they said, it's the voice of a God. They didn't go away thinking, what a gospel, what a Savior. What a sinner I am. How I need Christ. They didn't go away. They went away talking about Herod. What happened? God consumed Herod with worms. Killed him right there on the spot. Can't trust the voice. I don't care how eloquent. I don't care how much a man waxes eloquent. You can't trust him. You can't trust a voice. You can't trust what you hear. God spoke to me. Oh, did he now? Oh, did he now? What did his voice sound like? Well, it was the voice of a woman. That wasn't God. God's voice is like the sound of many waters. Besides that, God speaks like this. He doesn't speak any other way. You know that? God does not speak any other way. You know why? You know why? Because every jerk coming along can say God spoke to him. And nobody could prove him wrong. But if I say God spoke to me right here, you can prove me wrong, can't you? You can find out for yourself if God spoke to me, can't you? If they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. They're dark. They're dead. So none of these things can be trusted. Your sight, your feelings, your ears. Only by faith in an unseen God can we really see clearly. Only by faith in an unseen God can we hear clearly. Scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight. Scripture says we live by faith, see by faith. What is faith? All right? What is faith? Good question. Are you here? Come on now. Are you interested? What is faith? What is faith? Faith is believing God. Faith is believing God. Now, I didn't say just believing in God, did I? The devil believes there's a God, the Scripture says, and trembles. He does a lot more than the average man. He's scared. Trembles. You believe in one God, you do well. Faith is not just believing in a God. Faith is believing God. Now, that is believing who he is, all that he says about himself. How do you know what God's like? Well, you can't go out in the woods and find out, can you? Sam, you can go out in the woods and find out he's a marvelous creator. You can look around you and tell that a magnificent, wise, and all-powerful creator created things, but you don't know who he is. You don't know how you can talk to him. You don't know if he's ever talked to anybody. You don't know if he'll have mercy. How do you get to him, do you? You don't know if he loves. You don't know what he's like at all, do you? How are you going to know? Right here. Only way. The faith is believing all God says about himself. Now, men got this thing down to believing about one thing about God. They believe what they want to. And they searched and searched and searched and finally went over to 1 John and found over there where it says in 1 John that God is love. God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8. That's just part of that verse. But they take it. There we go. That's what I want to hear. God loves me. And they found out where it says that Jesus died for me. He came as a good man, found out that, and he died for me. And where they came up with accept him as your personal Savior, I'll never know. That's not in the Bible anywhere. They made that up. They made that up. And so they've got what they want to. God loves me. Christ died for me. I accept Him. Whoopee, I'm saved. Sure, for heaven's if it's already there. No. God is not first love. Is He? Huh? Ask the angels. Which kept not their first estate. See, man not the first one to fail. Man wasn't the first sinner, was he? The angels were. What happened to the angel? Did God send Jesus to die for the angels? No, He took not on Himself the nature of angels. Scripture said. God sent them down to hell immediately. Every one of them. John, every one of them that failed, God put them in hell. Is He love? You wouldn't know it yet, would you? What do you know by that, John? Huh? What do you know about God then? He's holy. He will by no means clear the guilty. Right? He's just. He'll punish sin. Right? You hear that being preached today? No. Uh-uh. And believe what they want to. Believe what they find. But faith believes all that God says about Himself. And the first thing He says about Himself is He's holy. He's just. Right? He hates sin. And He'll do something about it. So what does that produce? When a man believes that, when a woman finally sees God as God, holy, just, by no means clearing the guilty, punishing sin, the very thought of sin, punishing it. Some of those angels didn't do it, they just thought it. God punished them. What does that do to a man or a woman who finally first sees that? Holy fear, don't they? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of faith. Ain't nobody walking these aisles accepting Jesus as their personal Savior just being saved. Count on it. But that man or that woman or that young person who sees God as holy and just, they're well on their way to being saved. And then they see Christ. Then they see Christ. Faith is believing all that God says about Christ. That He's the only way to get to God, the only holy man. Only acceptable man. The punishment for your sins. Blood. You won't get here without blood. And they believe. And all of that's based upon what this book says. You'll not find that out. Ellen, you'll not find that anywhere, will you? Except right here. And you're not even hearing it from the average pulpit. You're not hearing that. You're hearing this generalized gospel that says God loves you, Jesus died for you, and you'll accept Him, you go to heaven. Why? 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 I wish somebody would ask why. My daughter, when she was about 4 years old, she'd be watching TV, and somebody, some preacher, so-called preacher, you know, I hate that people are, these men are called reverend. They're called minister. That jerk that's got two or three wives, he's called a minister. Doesn't that cast reproach on this? They're called reverend. They're called preachers. They're not preachers. They're crooks. They'll all be in jail. But one of them got on TV one day, and my little girl, smart enough to ask this, is he preaching the truth? 4 years old. Daddy, is he preaching the truth? Is he preaching the gospel? Good question. Oh, how I wish the world was asking that question. Every time some fella got up on TV and said, I'm a reverend. Oh, are you now? The minute he says that, I say he's not. But he says, I'm going to preach. Well, let's hear it then. Selama da baba sabala. What? Well, come back again. I didn't hear any gospel there. My daughter can do that. My little girl, my babbling infant. So faith is built upon the unchanging, immovable foundation of God's Word. Foundation of God's Word. And number one, faith is not believing things. Faith is not believing there is a God. Faith is not subjective. Faith is objective. That's important. Number one, faith has an object. You say you believe? What do you believe? Well, I believe there's one God. I believe in virgin birth. I believe blood, the book, the blessed hope, facts that save you? Will it save you if you believe there's one God and that Jesus came down and died and was buried and rose again? Will that save you? How? The devils believe that, Sammy, don't they? They're not saved. So doesn't it require more than that? Faith? Number one, faith has an object, a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who He is. He's Lord over all. You don't make Him Lord. Anybody that says that doesn't have faith. They've conjured them up a Jesus to worship, haven't they? Faith sees that God made Him Lord. That He was Lord to begin with, John. He came to the earth and He was Lord then with a job to do, save a people. He got the job done, went back to heaven, sat back down as Lord. He was Lord, He is Lord, He always will be Lord. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is Lord. You don't make Him that. You don't decide that. He is. He that cometh to God must believe He is. He's Lord, sovereign. And it says there in Revelation 1, He's got keys on His belt. I put mine away. Work one time told me, he said, you know, people don't, God never sends anybody to hell, he said. So he said. You know, he had a Jesus who was all of love and a God who loved everybody and so forth. And a Jesus who wanted to save everybody and couldn't. And so it's up to man. See? He said to me, Steve, on the railroad, he said, you know, God never sends anybody to hell. I said, whoa, where does it say that? I said, it says in Revelation 1, He's got keys of hell and death on His side. And whoever dies, He decides where they go. That's what that means, doesn't it? Huh? That's the Lord men and women are going to have to come to believe. That He decides where they go. Who goes where. It's His heaven, and do you know it's His hell? He created it. Yeah, He did. To punish all rebels and unbelievers. Who He is. He's Lord over all. He's Lord in the truest sense of the word. Lord over all. What He did, He came down to this earth, not just to set an example, but to be a substitute. He came down to this earth to be a substitute. To do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. This is the heart of the gospel. Christ came not to set an example. Not to show us if you'll do like me, you can get to heaven too. No! If you trust me, believe me, that I'm the only way you're going to get there, that only by what I'm doing are you going to get to heaven, that's the only way you're going to get to heaven. To do for us. Not to show us what to do, but to do for us. Right? To be a substitute. You know what a substitute is? Everybody knows what. In a ball game, a fella's going up to bat, you know, he's getting ready to hit. The coach says, whoa, stop. Umpire, hold the gate. Is there a daysman betwixt us? Do I have a substitute here? This guy's batting zero. He never got a hit all his life. That's us, isn't it? He's failed miserably all his life. Do I have a substitute here? Somebody that can get him home. Yes, there's a daysman betwixt us. Seated with the Father, with the umpire himself. Christ. Christ comes down and says, I'm a substitute. Now he doesn't stand up there and say, Joe, now here's how you take the bat and put the bat in our hands. He goes to bat. He goes to the cross. Without the wages of sin is death. Without shedding the blood, there's no remission. That's where I need to go. Deborah, that's where I should have gone. I should have been crucified. But Christ set me over the side, and He Himself hung there and took the full force of God's wrath. Went to bat for me. That's a poor illustration, but that's what He did. Became a substitute. And took God's wrath and God's punishment against my sins and took his righteousness and put it on me and made it appear like that I had lived a perfect life all my life. And God looks at me and says, you're acceptable. And you can come to heaven, be with me. And in the process of time, he actually makes that happen. He actually makes me like Christ. You are what you wear. If you wear his robe of righteousness, you'll become like him. But faith is where he is now. He's seated on a throne. He's not walking the banisters of heaven like these preachers. Oh, I was saying, I've done all I can do. Jesus weeps and loves me still. I'm making fun because it deserves to be. Is that our Lord? Huh? Is that the Lord? Oh, I wish so-and-so would do that. I wish he'd let me. I mean, the God who has the universe in his hands. No hands. I wish they'd let me do something for him. I want to, but can't. He won't let me. Doesn't that put this in the true light, what these people are saying, huh? Where he is now? You know where he is now? Seated. Got his arms folded. His feet up on a stool. You know what this stool is? His enemies. Got his feet on their necks. Satan's his puppy dog. You know that? Satan's not loose. He's on chain. God's got the other end of the leash. That's my God. That's your God. That's the God of the Bible. And that's the Lord everybody better know. And better bow to. And better believe. You ain't got no Lord at all. And you're not justified. You're not saved. Is that too hard? No, that I'm glorifying God. I'm exalting Christ. I'm showing him for what he really is. And what we really are. And faith sees a desperate need. John, only then will a man or a woman come begging for mercy. You know, that's the first reaction a man or a woman comes to. It's not accept Jesus. It's not do this or that. It's ask for mercy. Look it up. Every time in the Scripture somebody is saved, brought under conviction, they ask for mercy. Ask for mercy. Why? God's holy. I've sinned. I deserve hell. How am I going to get to heaven? Mercy. Grace. I need grace. I need blood. Oh, boy. And faith sees one's desperate need of Christ and comes to him and appeals to him for mercy and grace. Don't let, like to Moses, don't let the Lord speak to me or I'll die. God's a consuming fire. You go for me. You be my mediator. Would you be my substitute? Lord, Christ, did you die for sinners? I'm a sinner. Did you die for me? I need that. Lord, that can you say to my soul, you're my salvation? Come unto me. He says, come unto me. I'll take you there. And a believer believes the gospel to his the saving of his soul. What's the gospel? I just preached it to you. And believes that to the saving of his soul, then follows, becomes committed to, changed into Christ's image, walks like him, talks like him, thinks like him. He begins to have eyes like Christ. Now this, let me go on a little bit here, okay? Stay with me. So faith has an object. Number two, faith depends entirely upon the Word of God. How do you know there was a Christ? Just because Christmas goes on? Huh? Because somebody said so? You know, in that sense, Thomas was right. He shouldn't have just taken somebody's word. He should have taken the Lord's word for it. But faith depends entirely upon the Word of God. You know, faith, believe, not sight, not feelings, not voices, not thoughts, not man's opinion, you know, the opinions of the day. God says, my thoughts are not man's thoughts. My ways aren't man's way. Don't you dare believe the opinion of the day. What can you believe? God's Word. It's been around a lot longer than Albert Einstein. It's It's been around a lot longer than the smartest people that have ever lived, hasn't it? It's been around a lot longer. I'm going to take the word of experience. I'm going to take the word of Him who's been here from the very beginning. Who spoke and it was done. Whose word never changes. It's written in heaven. Written in heaven. You know, it wasn't written by men, it's written by God. And the first copy is in heaven. Still there. The word. And faith believes God because God says so. Faith believes entirely upon the word of God because God says so. Noah, build a boat. It's going to rain. Oh, now, come on. And this is what the world did. Rain? It's not going to rain. I don't believe it's going to... What is rain, anyway? You know, it never rained. It never rained on the earth. And God said to Noah, build a boat. It's going to rain so much that the boat's going to float. And only those that get in the boat are going to float and be saved. It's going to rain. Rain? What if Noah would have said, I'll believe it when I see it. 120 years later, he'd have drowned with everybody else, wouldn't he? God said, build a boat. And Noah said, well, I've never seen rain. And I don't even know what the word is. But I'm going to build a boat. Why? God said so. And you know he saw rain? He saw it the best place to see it. Not on the outside, on the inside. He was on the inside looking out. He saw rain. He was safe. You know, it was the overflowing scourge of God's wrath and a wild deluge and judgment. You know what he saw? He didn't see judgment. He saw mercy. He was in an ark. He saw rain, but it didn't touch him. He didn't fear. Even though he saw the rain, it was a miracle. God's judgment, he saw mercy. He saw grace. He was in an ark. Why? He believed God. Just based upon God's word. God said, build a boat. Build a boat. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, and that my seed is going to come from that son. The Messiah is going to come from that son. You're going to have a seed as the stars of the heaven. Have a son. His name's Isaac there. Now you take him and you up there and kill him. Oh, man, Lord. How? What if Abraham, how am I going to have it? He did it. I don't know how God, he said, I don't know how. You see, his sight, Rebecca, if he'd have trusted his sight, if he'd have trusted his reasoning, if he'd have trusted his ear, that doesn't make sense to the ear. He wouldn't have done it, would he? But he trusted, who'd he trust? God. God is immutable. God never changes. Everything he said is right. Faith believes everything God says is right. Election? You better believe it. You better believe it. It's not a play on words. You better believe it. Election. Man said, I believe anything but predestination. Well, you're not going to be saved then. Right? I just don't believe that. I believe everything God's word, but I don't believe that election. Well, you're not saved then, buddy. Right? Faith believes everything God says, whether you understand it or not. Right, Stan? Everything. Election, predestination, reprobation. What about, you want something hard to believe? Let's talk about hell a little while. I don't know what hell's all about. But I believe it. You know the difference between a sheep and a goat? I've told every one of you so many times. You know what the difference between a sheep and a goat is? God's people are called sheep. They're believe. They believe. They said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Why are you going to follow somebody, John? You believe it's them. It's him. It's the master. It's he. It's the Lord. And why are you going to follow him? You believe what he said. He's going to lead you right. Everything he does is right. Everything he says is right. You believe him, right? That's a sheep. Sheep, everything God says is right. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't know where I'm going, but I know who I'm going with. Right? Abraham believed, not seeing where he was going, but no, seeing who he was going with. Faith doesn't question. That's a sheep. You know what a goat does? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God says. The goat says, but... But why? But election. God says, I elected the people for the foundation of the world. You know what a goat does? But. You go into a pasture, and there's a sheep and there's a goat, and they may look alike, okay? Some of them do. Brother Bill said they do over in Africa. They look alike. You go over there, you don't know how which one's a sheep and which one's a goat? Just walk over there in front of them and expose a certain part of your anatomy to them. And one of them will butt you. Every time. It's so. You've run into many of them, haven't you? Out on the street, on the job plate, out in the supermarket, wherever. Oh, God's an electing God. God predestinates all things. But. You don't have to prove it to him. That's what God says. It's like, read Ephesians 1, man. Huh? Read it for yourself. I have, but. Well, that's plain. He's not a sheep. He's a goat. Go from the presence of, Proverbs said, go from the presence of a fool when you perceive not him the words of understanding. He's a goat. Leave him alone. He's following a blind man. He's blind. They're both following a ditch. But sheep follow the master. They hear his voice. They believe it. They don't butt. No buts about it. They follow. They hear. They believe. They don't understand everything, but they believe it anyway. I can't totally understand sovereignty and responsibility. I get those questions all the time. If God's sovereign, why then? I don't know. Why not God? Ask God. I'll ask him, and you ask him too, and we'll both come up with an answer. Maybe. He doesn't have to tell us. Another thing, faith believes entirely upon God's word because he said so. Another thing is faith lets a man come directly into contact with God. This is the blessedness of faith. Now, this is good, and I'll hurry, okay? I'm going to have to make this two-part message. Faith enables you to come directly into contact with God Almighty. This is important, people. How are we going to be saved? How are we going to be saved? I mean, here's God. And here am I. And I see my need. I'm a sinner and God's holy and all that. How am I going to be saved? Well, come to the preacher and he'll take you by the hand. And he'll take in one of our counselors. He'll take you back in the back room and they'll pray with you and give you a book, tell you how to lead the Christian life. And you slip him five in his pocket. And then y'all talk it over a little while, and you keep coming. You go to a man. Is that what faith does? Go to a man. Depend on what he says, what he does. I've already said you go to the Word of God, first of all. The Bereans, Barbara, went home and searched the Scriptures to see if what was preached was so. And then you know what Christ says us to do? Call a soul winner? No. Get in your closet and call upon God. Go directly to the source. Okay? Don't get the middleman. Don't go to the middleman. Except one. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I emphasize that. You can't go to God except by Christ. He is God. You got to come to Him. You got to come to Christ, who's the mediator. But not a man, not a soul winner. We don't need a soul winner. We need a soul savior. Right? We don't need a soul winner. We need a soul savior. We don't need a man. We need a mediator. And the soul that believes, that comes to God, goes to God himself. You know, Joseph, remember when Joseph's brethren were down there in Egypt and Joseph was hidden to them? He began to speak in Egyptian. And the brothers didn't know him. Did they? Why? He was trying them. They didn't know him. He was trying them. He was seeing if they were repentant. He was seeing if they were fearful. He was seeing if they were sorry for what they had done. If they were going to acknowledge what they had done. And he tried them, didn't he? And all the time he kept himself hid from them, didn't he? Finally, Nancy, after they were sufficiently broken and fearful, they were fearful. He said, everybody get out of here, didn't he? You remember that? When Joseph said, cause every man to go out from me. Get out of my way. This is what Christ does to every sheep he comes to. He says, soul winner. He gets that person out of that miserable mess to hear the message. Out of the mess to hear the message. Gets them out of Southern Baptist religion. Gets them out of the Methodist. Gets them out of the this and that and the other. Gets them out of all this paraphernalia and all these symbols and all this stuff, all this riff-raff of religion, and he comes to them himself. Joseph came to his brother and said, get out of here, everybody. I'm going to talk to him personally. And it says Joseph revealed himself to his brother face to face. He talked to him. And when people come to me, you know, asking advice or wanting to know that, I'll do what I can, but all I'm going to try to do is say, you go to Christ. You go to Christ. But people today are blindly following men, and they're both going to fall in the ditch. And let me go on real briefly. Faith gets into the reality and heart of things. Faith gets into the reality and the heart of things. I already told you that sight often deceives you. And that sight often veils the spiritual. You know, if you looked at this church, you'd think, modern religion, you know, nobody would be impressed with this, wouldn't it? How do you know God somewhere? How do you know the blessings of God? Huh? How do you know the blessings of God? Here you've got a man sitting in a palace, and he's got all these servants. He's got Rolls Royces. He's got all the food he could possibly eat. He's got millions in the banks. Is he blessed of God?
He might be cursed. God may have given him all that to curse him, send him to hell.
Now here's that old, poor old woman sitting down in a shack with barely a crust of bread to eat, and she's lost all her family, and she's a widow living on Social Security. Is she cursed?
No, she may be the most blessed person on the earth. She may know Christ.
And God took all that away from her just so she had nothing but him. And then when she finally gets to glory with him, she'll have everything. The rich man will have nothing. That's exactly what the Lord gave that parable about. Faith veils the spiritual. Faith covers unveils the spiritual, I mean. Sight veils the spiritual. Faith unveils the spiritual. Takes the scales away from the eyes. See very clearly. See, you don't see with these eyes. You see with this eye. You don't hear with these ears. You hear with this ear. You don't feel with this, with the loins. You feel with this. You feel with this. And you know, faith will take fewer false steps and make fewer mistakes. What am I going to do? That's what I'm going to deal with tonight. What shall I do? What shall I do here? Well, I think it's wrong. Guarantee it. Why? There's a way that seems right unto man, that the end is death and destruction. Guarantee you, every way we take without consulting God's word is going to be wrong. Unless God overrules it, right? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Who am I going to marry? Unless we, Lord, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Would you send me somebody to marry? Then it'll be right. Then it'll be right. Every time. Faith sees through God's eyes, not man's, not your own. Faith thinks like God, not man. Thinks like God. Faith doesn't hear anything with man's ear, doesn't see anything with man's eyes. So you don't come to any false conclusions. You say God's right about everything. He's right. And tonight we're going to deal with it. You want an answer? You'll get one. Sees through things. Faith sees through things. Gets right, sees through, and gives a proper estimate of things. Faith gives a proper estimate of things. And faith sees the future as present. The future is present. You know that this is not now? I said, you're not you. Your body, this is not now. Try it. Say, now. No, it's too late. It's gone. The minute you say now, it's gone. It's changing. Everything is finite. You can't say now. You can't, like I said before, you can't say I am. No, you're not. You're different than what you were when you first said I am. You change. Only God can do that. Only God never changes. Only everything spiritual never changes. It ever remains the same. Youth renewed like the eagle, Joe. It sees the future as present. This is not now. That's now. And that's going to be then. And that's going to be always. And that's going to be ever. And that's going to be eternal. And I better be looking into it, hadn't I? By faith. So faith has an object. Has an object. Which is Christ. And Christ alone. To get to God, sees God who He is, sees us who we are, sees Christ who He is and what He did and our desperate need of Him and appeals to Him and lives like Him, follows Him as a disciple. Faith takes God at His word. Faith is based upon just the bare word of God, not because the world out here is doing this, doing that, but because it is written. And faith sees through things. Sees things as they really are. Sees with the eyes of God. Faith won't allow you to make the wrong moves. Faith is a blessed thing, isn't it? Huh? It's a whole lot more than believing facts, people. And you see, you know what a blessed thing it is, a blessedness of faith. You know how blessed it is? It's so blessed. It's so rare. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't drum it up. God has to give it to you. Faith is the gift of God. He's the only one. It's a rare jewel called faith. And if you don't have it, there's only one place to get it. Ask Him for it. All right, stand with me. I'll dismiss you.